Hello and welcome to the Love Islander Hop Up. I am your host, Kirsten McInnes, and I am joined as always by the wonderful Brian Scally. Scally, how are you doing?
I am good. I took a brief break from my Queer Watch, from my Queer Eye binge earlier.
My Queer Watch. Wow.
Okay. That didn't come out right. But so yeah, my Queer Eye binge from earlier today, which is also great, but here to talk about Love Island.
I'm so jealous that you've gotten to start watching Queer Eye. It's truly not fair that it came out on a weekday, but it's fine. We're going to get through this. We have a ton of Love Island to get through because, wow, did you know it's 5 episodes a week?
5 episodes is a lot. I feel like after podcasting about the premiere and only having 4 episodes last week, we really did not get a taste of what this is going to be like. But in reading through the notes, I mean, even just from yesterday, this happened so long ago. Like, I am really glad we have the notes because otherwise I would be struggling on some points.
I truly feel like this must be what it's like for Taryn when he does the live feed updates and when he like goes back to look at the for the LFC roundtable. Like, I'm sure that this is what it feels like for him, except for he has like 24 hours a day of notes or whatever. But like, five episodes a week is a lot.
Yeah, except that Love Island is much more consequential and there's a lot of more detailed stuff going on. So, you know, we're here to talk about it all.
Absolutely. So we start the week. And so I just thought I would set things up with the couples that we had at the end of last week. So we had Zach and Elizabeth, Cashel and Kira, Weston and Mallory, Yeamon and Alana, Dylan and Alexandra, and Corman and Caro. And wow, things have changed.
Yeah, I am trying to see even how many of these exist anymore, how many seem like strong couples, and not the best outlook for most of these guys.
Yeah, not great. And so it just feels like so long ago that Michael went home and Carol was upset about it. But that's where we start for the week. And we kind of get just like some general conversation from Carol and Cormac where it's like, it was a hard decision. They want to like have relationships. Carol's not here for friends. And with Michael, she knew there was nothing. But with Cormac, she's not so sure yet. There could be something, which I feel like is not the most reassuring way to phrase that.
Yeah, not sure yet. Might get cleared up very quickly in the next couple days, but at least she's going for the chance. I am very glad because I was worried. There's always the chance where you're going to cast these people. And it's not like the UK version where there's the established, like, people actually play for love and not just to stay on the show. And I was a little worried about, like, alliances forming and people just choosing each other because they're friends and they know they'll make it further. But people seem very willing to switch around if they feel like a new situation that's better for them walks in.
Yeah, like again, this really does feel like the UK version because it does seem that people are there truly for love. And on that note, we get Weston and Mallory breaking up.
I mean, I don't know if I would consider this a breakup, considering Mallory made it very clear they were never together at any point, but definitely a parting of the ways for this duo.
I like how Mallory is in confessional, like, oh, I think I gave him the wrong idea by saying I'm a sucker for cowboys. Like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And it's like, yeah, that is normally something you would say if you were interested in someone who's a cowboy, but whatever. So they're just going to be friends, but they hope that both of them can find love. And we get the song I Don't Want to Wait by Paula Cole Plays. And they play like almost all of the song. Are you familiar with this song?
I definitely know the song. I've never watched the show, but the song has like transcended all of pop culture. I love that you mentioned who sings it because I've never, ever heard the name before.
I had to Google it.
Okay. Well, I thought that you were an OG fan. Apparently not. But it's the amount of money they're spending on the soundtrack for Love Island is absolutely absurd. But as the announcer said, they're getting their money's worth clearly playing almost the entire song.
Yeah. And so just to provide a little bit more context on this one, this song, the Dawson's Creek theme song, is so expensive that when Dawson's Creek released the full series on DVD, they did not pay for the rights to use this song. And they did not use the theme song for the whole box set for like 6 seasons.
Wow. Okay. So good to know that Love Island has, they're taking a bigger shot on an unestablished show and just really putting all their money in that one where Dawson's Creek said, you know what? This is part of our branding. We can live without it for a couple of years.
Yeah. I don't remember what song they used on the DVDs. I should have Googled that as well. But my sister and I did a full Dawson's Creek binge about, oh, 10 years ago now. And we watched it, and it was like we had to watch basically the theme every single episode. And until the very last episode of the last season, possibly the entire last season, but it's a little foggy for me, they don't use it. And so when it actually finally played, we were like, oh my God, it's the song. It's I Don't Want to Wait. So just want everyone to fully understand the full scope of money that CBS is putting into the show.
That would throw me off. I would be sitting there the whole time. Wow, I really just did not know. Maybe it's like a song, like an iconic song they use in the finale at some point, an important scene. But that's very, very, very funny to hear.
Yeah. So I just wanted to provide the context. So not that much happens before the game in this episode, but we do get a little bit more of the Zach and Elizabeth relationship progression. And like, they're stinking cute, but God, are they boring.
See, I am coming around on them a little bit, where in the first week, yeah, they were boring and I was not excited to have them on the show. Kind of at this point, probably due to a lack of other serious relationships forming, I am starting to like Zach and Elizabeth a little bit more. If you asked me any, you know, character traits about them, I really couldn't tell you anything except that they like each other and I don't know, they're a cute couple. But
and Elizabeth is really funny because she gets scared.
Oh, well, you know, that's height of comedy. So I am very impressed. Well, maybe a career in stand-up comedy after Elizabeth leaves.
Oh, but definitely.
I could see it, you know, the current landscape, who knows, comedy's always progressing. But I am not having as much trouble with them on the show. I'm fine. They're one out of 5 to 6 spots of couples. I would like to see something progress over the season. And given that we only have a few weeks left, I'm fine with them being here for the entirety.
Yeah, again, I think they're stinking cute. And then we get one scene which kind of sets up like the big story for a lot of this week was Yaman and Alana. And it's a Yaman confessional about, you know, Alana's a great girl. She's going at his speed. She's mature. She's grown a lot over the course. And it's like, oh my God. So like, it actually seems like he kind of likes her back at this point.
Yeah, not to forecast too much. I'm so, so upset about Alana, as I know most people are, but it really came to a head where Yaman really does not seem to be as into Alana as she is into him. I know that there's only a 3-year age difference, but he is, I believe, 24 and she's 21, which is pretty significant in terms of like life experience. So I get it. But it's disappointing nonetheless.
I also just feel like the way that he talks about her here when he's like, oh, she's like taking things at my speed and she's grown a lot. Honestly, it's rude. I don't like the way he talks about her.
Yeah, no, I definitely picked up on that like over the course of the week. As far as the specific conversation, it's been so long. I don't remember the exact tone that was used. But yeah, content is not great coming here from Yaman.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. So anyways, we get to our first game of the week, which we had several games this week. And this one is called Float My Boat. So the couples must work as a team to inflate a seaworthy raft while the girl is blindfolded and the guy yells instructions. The first couple to paddle out to and around a inflatable flamingo and back to the shore will win a prize this time. So it's very, very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see that all of the budget went into the music and not into the challenge, apparently, because I feel like pretty much anyone could set this up at their local, you know, swimming hole with one little pool float and a couple of inflatable paddle boards.
Yeah, it's something anyone can do. But you know what? If we have learned anything from Survivor Maryland, it's that you can get by on a shoestring budget.
That is true. Not to compare the elite Survivor Maryland, because honestly, highly recommend if anyone has not watched, should be watching. But this one surprised me. I feel like at least the other challenges are a little more done up than this one. It was fun, but just kind of basic looking. I know in other versions of Love Island, what they'll do is they'll have them build like a little sea craft in with like water bottles and like water jugs and tape and whatever other materials, and then they'll have to use that. So it was a little less exciting. Someone just use an air pump, but it was for a fun challenge.
Yeah, but when someone uses an air pump, you can like edit in slow motion and it looks so sexy, Scally.
Oh, that's what they were doing. I was confused.
At least that's, I think, what they were trying to do. I don't know. Anyway, so there's not that much that's like super exciting from this, except for Alexandra and Dylan literally just like did it perfectly so fast.
I mean, this looks like your typical like 80s movie, like jock couple. So that wasn't super surprising. They definitely just demolish the course. I personally enjoyed Mallory and Weston struggling on inflating the paddleboard at all and then just deciding, hey, let's just go for it anyway, and almost drowning themselves in the process. So that was the particular highlight for me.
I have literally no memory of that happening.
It was so, she was like, oh, like, we're good. It's fine. It's literally flopping in half. Like, it's not a good time. Definitely did not. If they're implying innuendos in this, it's not a good one in this case. So, but maybe it does describe Mallory and Weston accurately.
Oof. Okay. Wow. And then I also really liked, I feel like Alana and Yeamon, like, they were so bad at it, but it was cute. Like, the confessional was adorable. Like, this week literally feels like a horror movie.
Yeah, that was weird because he definitely seemed to be more okay with the couple in general at this point. And it really just is establishing a pattern of when Yeamon is around Alana, he seems much more into it. And oh, it's so adorable. And then when he's not with her, it's the grass might be greener elsewhere.
He's a fuckboy. I said it.
Oh, okay. Didn't expect that one so soon.
Sorry, guys. I said it. So then they are getting ready for a party and Carol breaks out a wig.
Yeah, this was a surprise. I didn't see this one coming. Definitely Cormac has some opinions on the wig later in the episode.
They're just bad opinions. Like the wig is not a great wig.
No, I mean, whatever Carol wants to do for fun, like, that's cool. But then I know Cormac later says, oh, I was so much more attracted to you with your straight hair, which is just, it's a problem on a lot of levels. Really,
so many levels.
Yeah, really don't love it. Carol, you can see herself is like, I just want someone who likes me for me. And that's like at the basis, the most, you know, the lowest level of what's wrong with this. But it really takes a turn for the whole Carol and Cormac relationship right into the first episode they're together.
Yeah, absolutely. Just not good. So we got a conversation with Kira, Mallory, and Alexandra, just like talking about the boys in general and why they came to Love Island. And it's fine, but I just love Mallory being like, normally I find men to be flops and I just wonder why. So that's why I came here.
Yeah, I mean, it seems about right. Mallory did not really seem to connect with anyone, and I guess everyone was just a flop, so why would she?
Yeah, men are flops. You heard it here first.
I will say from this conversation, the one thing that I actually took away looking back now is Kira saying that she normally pulls away from relationships because of a fear of getting hurt. I don't know that that is necessarily foreshadowing what's happening later, but I do think it's something interesting to highlight in where we end up going.
Absolutely. The only other like real highlight here is the men pranking the women that Weston got a text when he didn't, which I thought was so funny.
See, I liked this, but I thought like, okay, it happened. You saw Mallory got pissed, but like that kind of happened later in the week legitimately anyway. I thought maybe they haven't seen the show, so they don't know what type of prank to pull, but I would have much preferred something like, get ready tonight, like America is voting and some of us are going home, like make everyone on edge and like pull a big prank. But it seemed like kind of a half measure for me.
Yeah, but now we've got like this thread that will carry throughout the rest of the season with like they're not going to fully trust him. Like, wait, really? Did you really get a text?
Yeah, we've already seen that. It's going to keep happening. I am not complaining. Any distrust that's set amongst the couples is good for the show.
Yeah, okay, fine. So we find out that the prize for the game was that Dylan and Alexandra get a night in the Hideaway. So, Skyly, for the newbies, what is the Hideaway?
Okay, so the Hideaway is, as the announcer calls it, just another room in the villa. And really what it is you get private time in your couple. Generally, sometimes it can be used for another purpose, but it's generally a sleepover room. Other shows have used it in less elegant terms. Let's say Are You the One may call this the Boom Boom Room. The Jersey Shore may call this like the Smush Room. It is a separate room when you need a romantic night with your partner, but you can only get it on Love Island if you win it or the show deems you worthy of having it for that night, probably for storyline purposes.
And I love that they're found worthy of it by creating a seaworthy vessel. And Cashel says something really gross when they go into the hideaway. He says, sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs lick your toes.
I mean, I feel like I really don't have experience with bed bugs, so I can't speak to them as a qualified expert, but I don't know what kind of bed bugs Cashel is coming into contact with. That is not the ones I'm usually warned about.
Yeah, I've never personally dealt with bed bugs, but I work in property management, so it's like something to be aware of. And I've certainly never heard of these toe licking bed bugs.
I was going to say, are there different levels, like the bites and licks? And I don't even want to know what's next.
Yeah, no, we don't need to know. And so for the hideaway, Alexander just wants to have fun. And Dylan, he doesn't have a plan going in. So spoiler alert, they will not be sleeping together.
No. And I mean, it's still early. They really only got together, what, an episode or two?
Yeah, like so, they've been together like 2 days at this point.
This is not surprising. It's really funny with Dylan being like, oh, I just think we'll have an awesome time with our awesome couple. Like, we're so cool. It's awesome. I really like how awesome this is going. And so it's just another word that keeps popping up amongst these couples. I know I have my own like crutch words, but I was laughing. I will say about this hideaway, I really hate the design a lot. I don't feel like it fits in with the rest of the house. Kind of looks like Pinterest exploded in a room, but I just had to point that out there. I really am confused by it.
Yeah, the only thing I like about the hideaway is that anytime someone walks in, there are two like very full glasses of champagne.
I mean, not a complaint. Not where I was highlighting my complaints, but I just feel like it does not fit in with the rest. There's like on the UK version, it's much more fits in with the neon, or it's just like over the top, like romantic that you would see in like a movie that was obviously not like being faithful to a true experience. And so it just is a little weird for me. I don't know what they were going for.
Yeah, it's truly bizarre. But then we get like the real drama is we get the two new girls. So our first new girl is Kristen. She is 24 from Kentucky and she works in sales for an embroidery company. She wants someone driven and motivated that makes her want to do better and wants to go in there and challenge them.
Yeah, we get the two new girls on Weston's birthday. I know Kristen definitely comes in hot. I believe she's the one who says like, I'm your present. I know that we had something sent to us about Kristen in her past, I think about 2 years ago, that she is allegedly an arsonist.
Yes, exactly. Allegedly, she lit someone's bed on fire.
All right. I mean, I guess we're not doing background checks anymore, but I did not get a chance to read every detail of this. Do you know exactly what went on here?
I didn't get a ton of details, but what I saw is it was just like, I think it was in a dorm. She was mad at someone, lit their bed on fire. And so something I'm realizing more and more as time goes on is people are always like, oh, yeah, on reality TV, they do a psych assessment. For reality TV, they do a background check. Nobody ever said you have to pass those things.
I think that actually they might be looking for the inverse of what most people assume when you're implying that.
Like, but, I think for psych, they definitely want to make sure you're not like legitimately a risk to yourself or others. But as long as you're not, then I think it's just gravy and you can be pretty messed up and not be a risk to yourself or others. Although I would argue that lighting stuff on fire is definitely a risk.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe they're going to take, you know, most of the flammable materials away from Kristen, but I don't know how much you can really watch over her. Maybe they have people on watch, on standby, but it was a surprise. I know for other shows, they have actually casting people who just wanted to get their like their find on the show. When someone says like, oh, can I take the test later because I need like, oh, my glasses and I don't think I'll score as well. They're like, maybe you don't want to score as well. So I definitely know it is a thing, but and a career of arson is probably arsony. Not the best arsony, you know, casual, casual arsony. But no, I did not expect to find out that one of the two new girls already was an arsonist.
Yeah, so I'm gonna need to be on like fire extinguisher watch. Like, will we start seeing them pop up in rooms on Love Island?
All right, moving on. We also have Katrina. who I think she was from San Francisco, beauty queen, but oh, don't worry, she's not your typical beauty queen, and she'll have your back unless you cross her.
Yeah, she's all about personality, and at the end of the day, she's got to do her, okay?
I mean, if the hideaway did not take the entirety of Pinterest, I feel like Katrina got a few sayings off there for her intro.
Yeah, I think she's a big time Pinterest person.
Nothing would shock me less.
So now it is the full like West End's birthday celebration. They are celebrating country style. They use hashtag Wild Wild West End, which is pretty funny. And everyone's all saying yeehaw. And I know it's just a Calgary thing, but here you're not supposed to say yeehaw. Everyone gets mad and tells you that you're supposed to say yahoo. So
now is there a history of that?
So I was trying to figure it out. So like Calgary is really big because we have a rodeo every year called the Calgary Stampede. It's like people come from all over the world for this rodeo, which as someone who lives here truly could not understand less why people would come at that time. And it's a big thing. Like the city had like a hissy fit, and basically they put up all of these like word the structures this year that said yahoo so you could take pictures with them. And if you ever say yeehaw, people are like, no, that's wrong. And so I googled it today to be like, okay, but why is it yahoo? And there's nothing except for a Twitter poll from Calgary City Council that was, is it yahoo or yahoo? Which I thought was pretty funny.
Okay. Wasn't sure if that was a Canada-wide thing or just Calgary.
I think it's a Calgary thing, and it's a mystery.
That's so bizarre.
So if anyone can explain it, I would really appreciate it, because I've been like attacked several times in the past when they're like, no, it's yahoo. And there's no reason for it. So I think you're allowed to technically say either.
Okay. Well, they're definitely wrong. But so from the sounds of it, you felt right at home with Weston's birthday rodeo.
It's literally the stampede was last week. I just escaped from Cowboy Hell and then they put it back on my television. It's not fair.
That's upsetting.
It's super upsetting. So they're doing line dancing. They're doing two-stepping. It's honestly just like basic country crap. And then they bring out Weston's cake, which is, I believe that was shaped like Texas, correct?
Okay. I was going to say, first of all, I have done line dancing exactly one time.
Oh, what song was it to?
Well, I don't know.
It was okay, a Cadillac Ranch.
One night. It was not one specific song. I did not have the playlist that Love Island does in front of me, but it was in the little summer community that I come to, whatever. They had a line dancing night, did not want to go, went to support a friend who was throwing it. And I will not lie, was actually very fun.
Yeah, as long as you're drinking, it can be quite fun. Here, they actually teach us line dancing in school.
Oh, yeah. See, the open bar was definitely the draw for most people.
Yeah, that's definitely the main part. But if you play Cadillac Ranch, I know all the steps without having to have a caller. So it's pretty impressive.
All right. So next time we hang out, that will be happening.
We can absolutely do Cadillac Ranch.
Okay, back to the show.
Okay. So Mallory is so mad at the new woman coming in because she feels like she is at risk, which she is, because there's now a surplus of women. And it's so funny because she's the one who made it clear that they were just friends.
This is what's so weird to me, because Mallory doesn't even change her tune of like, oh, maybe I do like him. It's not. No, I don't like him, but you can't have him either, which seems like the wrong approach to be taking on Love Island.
Yeah, it's she definitely could have been like, you know what, like, I thought we were just friends. I didn't really think there was that spark. But then when I saw you talking to the others, you know what? I realized that there's something there. And that, I think, would have been a lot more successful for her than anything else.
100%. Because, I mean, as we saw earlier in the episode, Weston seemed to, oh, maybe there is something after she's so into cowboys. And she shut that down real quick. So Mallory taking this approach was confusing for me, especially when she then seemed jealous out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, it was very, very bizarre. And that's where they end the episode with all of the women locked up on the balcony watching while the two new girls come in.
Yep. And so that actually is a good time to bring up. I know we pulled a question from Randy, from Kurt Clark. And it says, do we think the production kept the women locked up on their bungalow balcony, forcing them to stay there and observe the contestants for like 10, 15 minutes before allowing them to come down and mingle? And what I will say is, as it's never explicitly stated, but judging by the UK version, yes, this is a thing that they do where they want drama of the new islanders being introduced to the opposite sex and having the drama of their current couplings up on the balcony. You know, generally, what's a word that you would use to teasing them, or
it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, not coming through, but just it causes more drama with them not being able to be there standing next to their partner, and rather they have to watch from afar, as usually it's a very warm reception to the new islanders.
Yeah, and they can just sit there and speculate like, oh, what's going on, who's talking to who, what's happening, and it's it adds some drama, and I don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually we will see, this might even get a lot more dramatic. I know this time they kind of took the approach of like, oh, well, we're not even going to watch and we're just going to sit here, which seemed like an interesting approach. It kind of looked like Mallory was like looking out of the corner of her eye and keeping an eye on what was going on.
She could not look away. I liked that Alexandra was like, whatever, we don't need to watch. Like, we've known these people for like 2 days. It's fine.
Yeah.
And that was just like very mature and down to earth, which is kind of, I guess, what we've seen from her. She is probably the most down to earth. And I also really liked when Alana was like, what? I'm not going to let other people make me insecure. Like, I'm happy with what I've got, so I don't care. And I love Alana so much.
This was like another moment that just like made me love her more. And I'm jealous that she is so secure with herself, but I am a big, big, big fan.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not as secure, you just have to fake that you are until it is real.
Oh, I know that much.
Okay, good. Okay. So the new girls are talking about their types, and Kristen goes off, and I just thought it was so weird. She's like, they need to be athletic, nice. They need to know to get down and dirty, you know how to change a tire, and not clean, but not too clean, not a pretty boy. And so what do you think? Do you think knowing how to change a tire is getting down and dirty?
I mean, I think that me and Kristen would not be a match, but you know, I don't think that I am the rough and tumble type changing tires all day that Kristen is looking for.
I don't think she needs it to be all day. I think just like knowing how to change one tire.
Like the pit crew for NASCAR, like that's her ideal guy. I'm pretty sure that's what she's looking for. But
I don't know. I feel like they might not be clean enough.
Well, she wasn't the one dressed up in the NASCAR outfit from later in the week, but that was Elizabeth. But I was surprised. You know, Kristen is an interesting character, to say the least. Yeah. She came to set the villa on fire.
Oh, my God. Wow. So I just, back to this clean, but not too clean. I just don't understand what that means. Do you know what that means?
No, I definitely don't know what this means. I feel like it's a way of, she has her type, but she wants them to be willing to, like, I don't know, probably, you know, show that they're willing to do stuff for her and themselves. But I am confused.
Okay, me too. Okay, good to know. And then Katrina's type is just someone taller, family oriented, funny, ambitious.
Again, pulled from Pinterest, like the most generic answers.
Okay, but you know what? If you take out family oriented, that's my type.
All right. Well, good to know that you guys probably are browsing the same pages.
Yeah. So I can't hang out with her because she'll be interested in the same men. So at the party, they play the very classic suck and blow, but there are dares on the card. So it's not just a playing card.
Yeah, the announcer says he can't say this at the 8 o'clock hour, which I think, given how quickly they cut away from certain things on this challenge and others, really you see the 8 o'clock hour like jump out, and where they're not allowed to show as much as the UK version might be able to.
Yeah, it's really it's unfortunate, except for that. I feel like we still get the flavor of what's going on, so it's totally fine.
Yeah, definitely one of the better challenges. I know they usually will break this out with like a Jenga with stuff written on it, but this was a good version.
Absolutely. And so Kristen is absolutely terrible at it. And then she's like, oh, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
It's like she's the second person drops it. But I feel like this was a weird one because you're generally, if you're earlier in the rotation, I don't know if they like pick up from wherever it fell. But we definitely get the highlights of Kristen not being so great at this challenge.
And we get the confessional of Caro being like, I was really good at it. But that new girl, Christine, she was not good.
Big fan of Caro, like her sassy confessionals. Very excited to still have her on the show. I'm trying to even think what still stands out. I mean, we have Mallory swapping clothes with Weston. I mean, he kind of put like her skirt on one leg, so I guess that counts.
Yeah, that was very weird. She's like, it's an extra small, just don't rip it, okay? Like, fully just using the excuse to be like, I'm an extra small.
You had to get that out there.
She's like, I don't want him to stretch it out with his man thighs.
Oh, sorry, Mallory.
She's like, whoa, okay. I didn't realize man thighs were such a thing, but good to know. And then one thing that really kind of bothered me was Yaemon got kissed the tallest person in the villa. And then he kissed the tallest woman in the villa.
Yeah, this is something I think it's probably culturally, because in the UK, you definitely will see like they'll have challenges of like, oh, the men versus the women of like who can get these things done the fastest. And it's like kiss the person whose name comes first alphabetically. And like it's not even a hesitation in the UK. So I'm wondering how much of this it was cut out where, because you even hear someone say like, okay, like Zach, it's like, let's go or something. So I don't know if Zach is the tallest, if it was a weird like edit in the sound clip, but it seemed like it cut and then all of a sudden Yaemon was going for the tallest woman instead of the tallest person.
Well, yeah, and Yaemon also had a moment where Weston like joked that he was gonna kiss Yaemon instead of Kristen at the start, and Yaemon like freaked out, and you know what, just not a good look on Yaemon. I don't like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, we definitely have our reasons to be upset with Yaemon, and now we are just, you know, adding to the tally.
Yeah, basically now it's like I'm like really upset with him, and then looking back and like at every other opportunity that I could have to be mad at him, I will be absolutely livid.
Well, these are all justifiable, so I don't think there's any problems yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's all justifiable. Thank you. We also have where they're basically just talking about like the people they're interested in. And we get a Katrina confessional where she says she tries to keep an open mind, open heart, closed legs, but open mind, open heart.
This was weird that she highlighted it so
weird.
Hard. I feel like she like almost like slipped and like said the wrong thing. So then she was like, no, no, I don't mean that. This is what I mean. But it was like a weird look, definitely.
Well, it's because like open mind, open heart does not indicate to me a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think anyone was expecting her to go there, but she really decided that like, she had to tell everyone.
She like emphasized closed legs.
Yeah, again, I feel like maybe she almost found herself saying what she didn't want to and then kind of caught herself and overcorrected, but it was a weird emphasis.
It was funny. I laughed. So Katrina gets a text that Katrina and Kristen are going to play the field because they will be speed dating all of the guys.
Yes, another classic from the UK version. I really like this because I will like any opportunity that you can get someone who seems to be in a more committed little boring couple to, first of all, get more screen time where we get to know them better. And then second of all, at least put the inkling of temptation out there where it's possible they could have a good conversation.
For sure. Scally, have you ever been speed dating before?
I have not. Have you?
I have not, but my sister was all about it before she met her husband, who she did not meet at speed dating. And she like got an email after the first time she went that was like, wow, like a majority of the men wanted to meet you again. You're like a super dater. So then she got to go to speed dating for free, basically forever.
Oh, wow. I feel like speed dating. I mean, I'm curious if it still happens that much. I feel like the apps are really just
2.5 years ago. Like this was not that long ago.
Oh, wow. OK, well, maybe I'm completely wrong, but I feel like the apps have really infringed on that territory where rather than going someplace, I can just swipe through.
Yeah, no, my sister asked me if I was going to go to speed dating and I was like, fine, it's 2019. I will not be going to speed dating. Thank you.
You have speed dating on your phone and you don't have to, you know, put on pants.
And I don't have to pretend I like people because I hate
that
everyone.
That is also fair.
So yeah, everyone has a 2-minute date with each of the women. We get a cute scene of Zach just being like, no, I'm fully committed to Elizabeth, which I thought was adorable because they are so cute.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is probably around when I started coming around on them. Like, okay, I like when they like go into this and I'm set. I'm good for the rest of the time, wherever it gets me. Like, I'm in this committed.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I could stand. They're boring, but I could stand.
Stand is like an aggressive word for the couple that I'm just coming around.
I'm hoping to get there because I just want to stand somebody and Alana's gone. So I don't have anyone right now.
That's Zach and Elizabeth is an interesting second choice, but I really don't know where I would go after that.
It's just so hard. I don't know.
Right. Well, Winston's coming in, so we'll see if that happens for you.
I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, what else do we have from this?
Yeah. So Kristen seems to really want Yaemon to consider her. We see that Weston and Katrina have a really good date. It seems like they're joking. They're bubbly. They're enjoying themselves. Weston calls himself a golden retriever, which I think is a very apt comparison.
Yeah. This is something that I feel like I hadn't heard until a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, like that's a cute comparison. I feel like everyone uses this now. I do think it's appropriate for Weston, but I feel like it's a little bit of a trope at this point.
Oh yeah, he definitely found that on Pinterest.
Well, maybe Mallory taught it to him while they were hanging out.
Oh, I could see it.
Or Katrina.
There's also like a super weird conversation with Cashel and Kristen where Cashel's like, I'm just like a vibes based guy.
Yeah, I did see friend of the podcast, Mel Got Served, did a little mock-up where she was just like, vibes. Oh, my vibes. You got my vibes? Ooh, we love vibes. And once again, just like Dylan saying awesome, it was odd how many times he was just shooting the same exact word into the conversation.
And it's like, what does that really mean?
Yeah, I feel like this is kind of why... later on, we see that Cashel and Kira are not necessarily as strong as we might have thought they were. I feel like it is a way for Cashel to avoid talking about what he wants to talk about so early.
I could see that. And then Kristen is like, yeah, you're the weirdest guy here. I'm just so like up front. And then Kristen also calls herself weird and goofy, but I don't know if I buy that.
I feel like it's now like cool to be like, oh, I'm a geek. I'm cool. I'm weird. Like, okay. You're not all weird, but everyone like wants to be now because like nerd culture's in. But I feel like as far as we've seen, Kristen really is just like leaning into that more than she authentically is weird and goofy.
I mean, what could be goofier than arson?
I mean, I am laughing. So not quite as funny as Elizabeth being scared of things, though.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I could never aspire to that level of comedy.
Fair.
It honestly just hurts, you know?
I have been laughing all week.
Yeah, I just the mere thought of Elizabeth getting scared. I'm like, good one. So then there's a great Caro and Kristen conversation that I exclusively want to cue up because they're sitting on the couch and the pillow that is in between them just says internet famous.
Big fan of the pillow. I think I did see it like in a background of a scene last week, but more so highlights what I was nervous about most people coming here for. But I guess Love Island really just like leaned into it. And like, we know some people are coming here for that reason and decided to go have the decor reflect that.
I love it. I just wish I was internet famous enough to buy that pillow.
I feel like you could find it somewhere.
Yeah,
you know.
But I don't think I deserve to own it.
But you could manifest it, as we have heard many times on this show.
Wow. Your mind is so powerful.
I mean, it is.
There's also a really great moment of Cashel being like, I want to show Kristen how dope I am. And then Kristen comes down like all dolled up for the evening. And casuals and overalls.
I mean, and I feel like they're like cuffed at the bottom with like dress shoes.
Yeah, I think I saw someone say that he was wearing loafers. I think Mel Got Served queued that up.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he was pulling it off. Am I wrong?
No, like it doesn't look like bad. It's just to be like, oh, I want to show someone how dope I am. And it's like,
yeah, no, that's my overalls. Like, the contrast of that is very funny.
Like I have overall shorts and they're super adorable, but I would be like, oh, I want people to see how cute I am. Not like, oh, I'm so cool.
I feel like we have different definitions of like dope than Cashel might, but I am definitely jealous of his ability to just pull off absolutely whatever he wants to wear.
I feel like you could pull off the male overalls.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going overalls, manveralls. I don't know. But I am not really sure that I'll be buying them anytime soon. But I can aspire to one day.
It's just he's got the bucket hat. He's got the overalls. I think casual's your style icon.
Oh, truly the pinnacle of fashion.
So Kristen has been talking to Everin about how she's super into Yaemin, and Alexander gets Dylan involved to try and help her get Yaemin, and I'm upset.
It's weird this season. I feel like this happens a couple times where someone new comes in and they're like, oh, can you help me like talk to like one of the OGs? And usually there's more of like a camaraderie with the OGs that I don't really feel like is necessarily there as strongly this season, because Alexander really just jumps on the opportunity to have Alana really, you know, get kicked out there from Yaemin.
Yeah, I was shocked to see it, because I did think that the original Islanders would have more of that for each other. And I was very bothered by this.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I don't know. We obviously don't see their conversations. One of my favorite parts of the show is the friendships. But unfortunately, I don't feel like we've gotten as much of that on the women's side.
Yeah, because they are here for love, okay?
See, but I feel like we're getting like the guy friendships more. Like earlier, there was like a scene with Weston and Zach in a tub, and it was like, ooh, they're in a tub, which like, oh, whatever.
But, okay, but also, can I just say that tub was so giant? Like, I need that tub.
Yeah, but I feel like they only filled it like a fourth of the way.
It yeah, but
like
that's because they're dumb and bad at having baths. I'm okay. An expert at having baths. I would make full use of that tub.
I mean, the tub still looked big with like two very large men in it. But I feel like we are getting more of the bromances on the show than we are with any of the female friendships, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of bromance, not a lot of homance.
All right. Well, you said that.
You know what? I stand by it. So then we get the big twist at the end of this episode is that the new girls are each going to take the place of one of the other girls for the night. They'll sleep in their bed, be coupled up with their man, and the ones that are left behind will have to go sleep in the hideaway together. How did you feel about this twist?
I really like this twist in concept. We have seen it played out to much more dramatic effect on the UK version, where people have stolen like legitimate couples later on. I think it probably works better then because it gives the new arrival like a better opportunity to like sneak into a stronger relationship. At this point, like obviously Alana was mad, but I don't really feel like she's at the point where she's going to like throw a absolute fit. And then Mallory, while being annoyed that her partner is getting taken away, it's not like she has that romantic connection that she's going to feel threatened.
Both of those are very good points. And also it separated Yaemin from Alana. And I was really mad about it at the time.
Yeah. I mean, not to be results oriented, but that definitely was a problem for me.
Yeah. It just did not make me happy. So it starts, the next episode picks up like right in the middle of that. So I think it's one of those things where like at the start of the week, the rhythm to the episodes is a little bit off because we had 2 days off. And then by the time we get to the end of the week, it's like very much in the moment.
Yeah, which I'm okay with. I would rather see like the more interesting stuff and have like the days like not be quite like, oh, it was yesterday. But I'm enjoying it. I don't feel like the to be continueds are too like arbitrary or like I feel like they're ending pretty much where I would have them end.
Yeah, like for anyone who's mad that there's to be continueds, it's like, hey, it's still television. Like they have to do like something. It's a pretty easy strategy to try and pull people in for the following night.
Well, yeah, and it's not like you're waiting like a week or two, like you're waiting till tomorrow. So generally at the end of the week, like we do get a resolution. And so that's why it's much more annoying. And these don't even feel like that ratings grabby. It just feels kind of like, I don't know, like where else would you end it? But you're getting it literally the next day. So I'm not too upset at these.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad either. So Alana is so mad that Kristen picked Yaemin, and she has a great confessional. She's like, do not get too comfortable sleeping on my side of the bed.
Yeah, big fan. Any confessionals that we get with Alana at this point are like little treasures because there's not too many left, unfortunately.
I mean, I think they should bring her back.
I know they've done it on the UK version like sparingly, but I just don't feel like their connection was that strong or that really we have enough time to be bringing anyone back.
I think they should trade her for him.
I mean, I would obviously vote for that if it's on the ballot, but I'm not really seeing it happen. So, I mean, if you want to tell me like, oh, Alana's coming back next season, like as one of the OG, like that's fine. I don't care. But I don't see it happening this season, unfortunately. Hopefully we hear from her on Twitter, but I just don't see it happening.
I'm really upset with you for not just like living in dreamland with me for like 5 seconds there, but whatever.
Again, I would very much prefer that be the case, but I don't think it is.
Fine. Okay. So Krista wants to talk to Alana about it to explain why she picked Yaemin. It's because she didn't really get the chance to talk to him that much. And she feels like he's a closed book and she wants to get to know him.
I feel like this is always like a good move. Preferably you do it before you plan on like talking to that person's partner, but I guess you kind of got blindsided with the text. I feel like Kristen really didn't do anything wrong here.
No, she's just playing the game. The way that she phrased it seems so weird when we had already seen her and Yaemin have like a good connection during the speed dating.
Yeah, that's very fair. I mean, a lot of them have said, I know she was like highlighting to the other women, like, oh, I really like Yaemin. They're like, oh, yeah, like he's deep. So I feel like that's a way of saying like, oh, he's not like so forthcoming with everything. So I get what she's probably going for, but probably didn't explain it the best.
Well, and you know what? I don't know who needs to hear this, but just because someone is quiet does not mean that there's something hidden beneath the surface.
That is very true.
And so Mallory is also absolutely mad, and she's like upset because her journey, she feels, is ending. She's like, my Love Island journey is unfolding, it's falling into pieces. And she takes Katrina's character into question.
Probably not the best way to go. I mean, unfolding is definitely not the right word there, but Mallory, again, she's really, really annoyed by this, but really has no alternative for Weston. It's not as even like, oh, I don't, it, maybe it happened off scene, but it doesn't even seem like she's talking about how, oh, they'll just make it to the end as friends, or is this new woman like, do you really have a stronger connection? It's just like, why are you doing this? Pick me.
Well, and then when she talks about Katrina, she's like, I think Katrina's just going for what's safe and easy. I don't think they're a good fit. I don't think that they're going to be together. And it's like, it's not like you're going to be with him. Like, calm down.
Yeah. Obviously, she has decided herself that she is not a good fit for Weston. So it seems like anyone else would be a better option.
Yes. And so I loved also, Alana had another confessional where she said, I don't want to be in the hideaway with no Mallory. I want to be in the hideaway with Yaemin. And I love her.
Yeah, big fan. I actually do feel like Mallory kind of came alive this week in the confessional, and to the point where I was a little more sad to lose her than I thought I would have been. But losing Alana definitely has been the, you know, real dark cloud over this week.
Yeah, that one cut very deep. And you know what, though? You are right. Mallory came alive and was actually quite entertaining, whereas I don't feel like Kristen or Katrina have brought like that much entertainment. Like Katrina more so than Kristen for sure, but like I don't find them that exciting, so I'm not happy with the trade.
No, it's only been a couple days, but I mean, you can see why they picked the OGs to be the OGs. We were like very critical on the cast to begin, and I just feel like they did not open, you know, they're like Weston, they're like Yaemin, they're not an open book at first according to Kristen, but they have kind of started to come into their own, and I was sad to lose probably two of the bigger characters on the women's side in Mallory and Alana, or at least potential to be big characters. And so it is what it is. And that's what I like about the show, is that they're willing to not throw in a twist to save the best, like their favorites.
Well, yeah, and I normally really like that, but this time I wanted them to save my favorites.
Okay, well, in general, but yes, ideally that these two would not have been the ones going home.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I did like that when Kristen and Yaemin were talking, Kristen's like, oh, I don't really have a type, even though she literally wrote like a 500 word essay earlier in the week.
Oh, someone who changes tires all day, I remember, was the number one point. And otherwise, I know she wants funny and goofy because, you know, she's just so weird and quirky.
And that's definitely why she picked Yaemin, because he's so funny and goofy.
And clearly the jokester of the house.
Yeah, definitely the biggest laughs come from Yaemin. Even funnier than Elizabeth.
Don't go crazy.
So then they get a text that there will be a recoupling, and Alana's like, this is a great chance to make sure that we're on the same page. And it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, this was so sad. They like go to talk, and Yamin just gives her absolutely nothing. And I feel like this should have been a sign, but it's just like, oh, like, I don't want to make anyone unhappy, which little does Yamin know, he made thousands of Twitter users very unhappy from the looks of it that night. But it's a weird space to be in.
Yeah, and it's just also, it felt like such a switch had flipped, where like Yamin had been acting up to this point like, oh, I'm interested in Alana, things are progressing, I think she's a cool girl. And then now it's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can even see just like in the cutscenes, like the B-roll, like you would see like Yamin and Alana like walking together, like with their like head on, like Alana's head on Yamin's shoulder and like holding hands. And it really is, seems pretty clear that, not that I'm even blaming Yamin, because it probably is the correct move if you want to stay on the show and win or even get airtime or whatever your goal is. But it really does feel like he let her on here.
Yeah, well, like, when he's talking to Cashel and Weston, he's like, oh, I didn't really feel a spark with her, whereas I feel one with Kristen. And also, he's worried about, like, Alana's age and lack of other relationships, which are, like, totally valid things to have concerns about. But those are things he should be talking about with her, not to others about her.
Yeah, and he was so, I remember in the beginning, he was like, so, I think Alana had never had a relationship, or maybe had, like, one. And he was like, I can't believe it. It's like, but she's only 21 and you're 24 and I think you had two. So it's not like there's this big difference in like history between the two. But obviously Yamin puts a lot of importance on that fact.
Yeah. And it's just weird. Like, he could have talked about it with her and I feel like they could have figured it out. Like, just because she's never had like a boyfriend doesn't mean she's never dated.
Yeah. And it's not like she like seemed uncomfortable around him or showing affection or being serious. Like, they always seem to have that, you know, good connection going on, like good conversations, but obviously something wasn't there for Yamin, even if he wasn't expressing it.
And it bothers me because he was just using her to stay on the island. And I understand that that's the game, but I liked her and I don't like him. Yeah.
Always much more there to see the women use the men to stay on the island than the reverse. But unfortunately, that was not the case. I mean, we both know like Alana was one of our favorites, but unfortunately it happens once in a while.
It's just not okay. They also have a conversation with Katrina and Mallory, where Katrina's talking about how good her night with Weston was.
Like, I read the room. I don't know what these new people are thinking, but I mean, maybe it's a tactic.
Yeah, it was so awkward. Like, Mallory was livid.
Yeah, I think we've said she's putting on a brave face, but like, yeah, you can read it.
Absolutely. So then we get another challenge, which is the, I think it was called the Supergirl challenge.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was the Girl Power challenge.
Oh, actually, that makes sense because they played Spice Girls. Okay.
Oh, great call. Yeah. Big budget music once again.
Good job. I believe they did Wannabe, right? Yeah. Feels like something I watched sense on TV this week. So one at a time, the girls will go through a weird little like obstacle course of bad guys to save the boy they are coupled up with. They will then take like the paint filled balloons thrown at them by the boys, and then they save their man. So the first up is Alexandra and Dylan. I wanted to key this up because I feel like she went through it doing it like super goofy, like how he did with the obstacle course last week, and I thought that was a cute little symmetry.
Yeah, they definitely seem like they're starting to click a lot more. If I have to stand one of the couples, like, they're kind of not really jumping out at me yet, but I feel like Alexandra and Dylan have potential to at least be like a more fun version of Zach and Elizabeth.
They're definitely cute. And I feel like with them, it did actually really look like they had immediate vibes, to coin a phrase. Oh. Whereas Elizabeth and Zach, like, yeah, they're cute and they're telling us they really like each other, but I don't know when we really saw the sparks.
Yeah, Zach and Elizabeth look like, I mean, I guess you could say the same about Alexandra and Dylan, but Zach and Elizabeth especially look like the couple, if you were looking at them preseason, like, who would you have matched up? Like, I guess these two go together, like, pretty obviously. And so it almost feels like they're together just because they had that, like, initial, like, oh, I like you, you like me, cool, we're good. But Alexandra and Dylan did not have that right away, and so maybe it feels a little more legitimate.
Yeah, I think that's the case. We get Katrina decides to save Weston, even though she's not coupled up with anyone. And she went for it.
Yeah, I mean, I will say a lot of these definitely blended together for me, outside of one or two. But I mean, Katrina definitely tried, as did Caro, maybe with less success. But I appreciate the effort, definitely.
Caro was so aggressive. It was terrifying, but not as terrifying as Kristen, who legitimately looked like she's been in some street fights.
Who was the one that like took the what would you call it, like the let's say mannequin, but it's not the right word, that took like the figure and like twisted the head off like they were breaking the neck? It was so aggressive and it made me laugh.
That was so much. I think that was Caro.
I mean, I would not doubt it. Caro definitely has a mind of her own, but I mean, that's the type of stuff that I almost want to see where, like, I don't know, go for it, have fun. And like the people that like play it safe, like, hey, you're not doing anything for me. I really don't need to see this run through.
Well, and speaking of that, the spotlight was Alana saving Yemen. Starts doing the worm and then gets up to kick the guy. She's doing cartwheels to save Yemen. She's like going for it. And then Yemen Confessional's like, that was barbaric. Ugh. Shut up, Yemen.
And wasn't Yemen the one that was doing the worm in last week's turn?
Yes.
So like one more point where obviously they're perfect. He doesn't see it, but it's upsetting. Okay,
they would be perfect, yeah. Except she's way too good for him.
That is true. At this point, we do know it's been exposed. Alana is too good for probably anyone there, and definitely a well-deserved win on this challenge.
Absolutely. And so she is feeling herself. It goes into the recoupling, which... is not that exciting, so we'll just kind of zoom through it. Basically, Dylan goes first, picks Alexandra. Nothing new. Zach just says some boring speech about a fairy tale and being genuine and picks Elizabeth. Cormac chooses Caro. Cashel goes back with Kira. And then we get the jaw drop moment where Weston chooses Katrina as expected. And Yemen picks Kristen, leaving Mallory and Alana to go home.
Yeah, I feel like usually there's kind of like, let's say the vibe, but it's more so well known that I'm probably not picking you. I'm going with someone new. But these seemed like legitimate shockers to everyone there. Unless it was like very like sneaky editing, it seemed to be a real surprise.
And then the other thing, too, is when Mallory gets a text that they're going home, it did truly seem like all the Islanders were surprised. I think they thought that they would get to stay, especially with the recouplings being so close together.
I'm wondering if it was that or if they cut to reactions like from when Yemen picked Kristen and like they just cut in reactions like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're going. Or if it was like they could not believe who the recouplings were and then they placed them in.
Maybe it's true. They could be doing sneaky editing on us.
Yeah, it happens. But Yemen does say that Kristen is funny and goofy. So there that comes back. I guess we're just not seeing it.
Well, I blame the editors. How dare they keep this from us?
If there's good content, I want it.
One thing that happens here is Alana immediately walks away and puts on sweatpants. And if that is not a mood, I do not know what is.
This was my favorite thing. Like, everyone's like, Alana, no, I'm done. Like, I love that so much.
She's gone. She changes into her sweats. Everyone's kind of having their, like, sad goodbyes. And then Alana puffs back out and goes, you want to talk?
Yeah, I really was hoping she kind of would just be like, what is there to talk about? Like, obviously, like, I liked you. You didn't like me, which I mean, kind of is what ends up happening. Yemen says, like, they just weren't gelling, which I thought was, I don't know. It seemed like you were the first couple days, but who knows?
Yeah, I definitely think he let her on, which is not cool. And then we get the scene of her being so sad and being like, I'm not going to apologize for really liking someone, which I thought was really good. But like, I'm not going to lie, I actually cried watching this.
I mean, I didn't get to that point. May have cried, you know, teared up a little more at my Queer Eye watch earlier, but
oh God, I'm not ready to watch Queer Eye. I'm gonna cry so much.
It's so good. I'm only through the first two episodes, but definitely recommend. So what I will say is I did not get to that point with Alana, but definitely upsetting. Like, even right before she left, she like kisses Yemen right in front of Kristen, which like, I don't know if that was just like a, you know, one last, you know, middle finger, or if it was like just super genuine. And like, you could see Yemen like wipes his lip and like it looks at her like for longing. So it was definitely like, what do you mean you weren't gelling? Like, it seemed like there was some type of connection, if not, I guess, just not strong enough.
Yemen sucks.
Yeah, well, as it's been revealed.
Yeah, and so then the episode ends with the last little cliffhanger. Kira gets a text that they know she's coupled up, but come on a date with Winston.
Winston of BB20 fame.
And fame. And so
internet famous, okay.
Just to kind of set this up, Winston was one of the BB20 house guests who went to Fiji before Love Island started and actually interviewed the cast.
Yeah, this is weird. Did you see these interviews? Because I didn't know about them until all of a sudden I see pictures being sent and it's, oh, what do you know? It seems like Winston actually has a picture with Kira from before they were on the show.
Yeah, there was a video on Brett Robinson from BB20's Instagram today of like when they met, and the interview was actually really funny. And last night on the Big Brother recap, Caitlin Herman was like, no, seriously, when Winston went for the interviews, he was totally smitten by Kira. And he actually is like, she's like, it's so cute. He totally like wants to find love.
Oh, I mean, look, just one more person coming here for the right reasons, not just for the internet fame of it all. But
yeah, Winston already has internet fame. He doesn't need it.
Sorry. But what I'm saying is I'm confused because I never saw them like released anywhere. So I don't know why he was there interacting with the cast. Was he already, I don't think he was planning on being on the show at this point. I feel like it, but also Caitlin said something about him knowing for like 2 weeks. So that was interesting.
Yeah, it's a little weird from CBS, but you know what? It's Love Island. It's fine.
Oh, I mean, there's not like any like integrity that I'm questioning based on Winston being there.
I also really love, I love this in UK TV where people will go into like BB UK or Love Island and they've been watching the show.
Yes. Big fan.
I like that a lot. So It's fun to get to see it in a US context. And yeah, so apparently he picked Kira because she seemed fun and had good energy. And this totally fits in with what Caitlin said on the podcast last night. And Kira's never seen Big Brother.
Oh, that like is ever. Surprising. I know that someone had tweeted us directly, and unfortunately I don't have it in front of me right now, but said, like, what do you think over under 1.5 people that know Winston and recognize him? And I liked your response of, I'm taking the under on 0.5.
Yeah, thank you for sharing my hilarious jokes with the world. It's the thing where, like, people know of Big Brother, but it's the thing where you bring it up and they're like, oh, like, what is that?
Yeah. I mean, what was funny, I remember someone also posted a link talking about how Love Island, I don't know if you saw this one, where Love Island is bringing like a young-ish audience in terms of viewership. And by young-ish, they mean like 56, because like the average TV watching audience is like just much older at this point. Like I think probably especially for CBS. And like the average audience is like over 60. So I guess that comes into play.
Oh, doesn't it feel good to know that we are dragging down the average age of reality TV viewership by so much?
See, I do love that. But then part of me is like, wow, maybe I should cut the cable and I might like holding on for too long. But I'm watching on the CBS All Access, so we're good.
Well, it's fine. I have cable because I'm 84 years old on the inside. Okay. It's fine.
I have cable at home, just not here, but we're good.
Well, fine. So there's like some casual Kira drama, but it doesn't, it just seems weird. I don't even know what to say about it.
This whole like casual Kira stuff like comes kind of out of nowhere. Like they seem really strong in the first week, but it seems like, oh, casual's not that into Kira, and now all of a sudden Kira's not that into casual and she's worried because it seems like he said that he just is like surfing couches at the moment, which like do what you want. But like if that doesn't line up, then yeah, that's probably going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's just very bizarre how it came seemingly out of absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And even like on both sides, because it seemed like at one point during this week, both of them seem uninvested. And not to flash forward too far, but Cashel really has a 180 on this viewpoint.
Yeah, it's super weird. So Winston gets to have dates with three girls. He's going to cook for them. So he'll do appetizer, main course, and dessert. Nothing like a three-course lunch. And he invites Katrina for the first course, Alexander for the second course, and Caro for the third. How do we feel about bringing the cooking date into U.S. Love Island?
Big fan. I very much enjoy, like, just give them, like, the one-on-ones where, again, like, the rest of the cast pretty much is watching from, like, the balcony. And the unfortunate part of this is it is pouring rain again.
Yeah, so the announcer guy makes a comment about, well, we can't have the date outside, so we pulled a table into the lounge area.
It's so weird. Like, I guess they just made a bad decision in where they're filming. Maybe, like, they really could not have had any way of seeing this coming. But I can think of, like, one, two, maybe three times on the UK version that it's rained in the course of, like, the five seasons. And we're in, like, a week and a half, and we have two episodes where it's absolutely pouring.
Yeah, I don't know that Fiji is the best place. I feel like they probably would have been better off pulling a Bachelor in Paradise and just doing, like, a resort in Mexico, even.
Mm-hmm.
I but feel like not they, at a resort, but, like, a villa.
I guess CBS has their deals with Fiji already set up CBS through Survivor, and it was Fiji. A lot easier. So, but it seemed like an interesting move. What was worse, though, is Winston saying, like, oh, definitely Katrina, definitely Alexandra, and, I don't know, Caro, I guess. So probably not the best way to phrase that.
Yeah, it was quite awkward. And so my question is, was he not allowed to ask Kira again? Did he have to ask three other girls?
I'm sure that, yeah, that's a good question. I could see that really having gone either way. I mean, really, all he had to do was just be like, oh, this is a really hard choice. And, like, then he could have just paused just as much without seeming like, I'm picking you because there's no one else. But that's a good question. I wonder if he could have picked Kira again.
Yeah, it was just a bizarre choice. It seemed like Winston was actually super into Alexandra.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I feel like Alexandra's probably pretty similar into the women that he'll be running around, like, seeing, like, walking around back home. I mean, comparatively to most of the other women in the villa, but it seems like that might be Winston's type.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. Winston also has a comment about how he wants as many kids as he can afford, which might be one.
Well, yeah, definitely. Winston seems to have, I mean, maybe that tricky edit, but Winston seems to have no game. Or am I wrong?
He certainly seems to have no game, but he also, at the same time, seems to have more personality than what we saw from him in Big Brother last summer.
Yeah, I mean, I Winston was my, you know, day zero winner pick, only to be very quickly disappointed with how that went. I was enthusiastic, I guess, about seeing him here. I'm fine with it, but he's been fine.
I mean, is anyone enthusiastic about Winston?
I mean, you know, I'm sure that there are, you know, tens of people that are very excited. His family.
Tens of people. Well, we don't know if his family's that big. They only have as many kids as they can afford.
Okay. Well, you know, that is true.
Yeah. So the dates were whatever. I didn't think they were that cute, except for it seemed like Caro was, like, super into Winston.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I feel like, you know, Caro has, I like that Caro, like, if she's not feeling it with someone, like, she's completely willing to just, like, all right, I'll explore with someone else, which I feel like is the right move here.
Yeah, absolutely. But then immediately after, she's talking to Cormac and she's like, yeah, I didn't feel, oh my God, but I didn't feel that the first time I had a date with you either. So I don't know.
Yeah. Big fan.
It's a big fan of her just being like, yeah, Cormac, I don't know about you. Not too sure.
Yeah, Cormac definitely has, like, a series of weird confessionals here. I don't know. How did you make of Cormac's little goings on here?
Okay, so here's the thing. I watched this episode twice, and I have no memory of this. I saw this note that you wrote, and I was like, what happened? So I'm going to need you to lead me through this.
Okay. Cormac is, like, he talks to Caro and he, like, doesn't seem that into it. But then eventually he goes up into, like, the changing room area and he's talking to a few other guys. And he's like, you know, it's just that sex is so important for me. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we're getting into this. And he's, I don't even open up before sex. Sometimes I sleep with women and then I realize, you know what? That wasn't for me. I'm out. So I don't know that Cormac really has the best strategy for Love Island coming in. Seems a little bit flawed.
Yeah. Well, And the thing is it's like, it's totally fine for sex to be important. Like, sex is important in a relationship, but I feel like you should at least have some kind of inkling before you have sex with someone of like, yeah, I am into you.
And if he doesn't want that in the real world and like it's the, everyone's made aware, like that's fine. But just like he knows what show he came on, right?
It's called Love Island, not Sex Island.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he applied to the wrong show.
Sex Island definitely can't be on at 8 p.m.
No, not CBS, not 8 p.m. Maybe in the UK, though.
Yeah, in the UK, that's midday programming.
Actually, I would not know.
The UK has a show, I think it's called Dating Naked. Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of this. I want to know what like the equivalent channel for like me, like what channel would that be on? I'm very confused.
Wow. I think you could probably find it online if you really want. But I have, my old boss was like obsessed with that show about how like the panel slides down and then you see a little more, a little more, a little more. He's like, and then you see the junk.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's an interesting strategy for a show. I guess maybe Cormac will find love there.
I wonder how many marriages have come from Dating Naked.
Wow, definitely a good idea for an off-season podcast. Interview a marriage from Dating Naked.
Fortunately, our off-season is 46 weeks long.
Lots of time for research to find the one person.
Absolutely. So we do get another challenge here called Hearts on Fire. So everyone is going to strip and dance, and everyone else will be wearing heart rate monitors, and whoever lifts heart rates the most wins the challenge.
Yeah, another challenge is pulled over from the UK. It doesn't seem like anyone's really taking it that seriously here. I feel like usually in the UK, it's kind of, it's still fun, but people will actually participate rather than, I know some people just like kind of walk in and like, I don't know, throw something around their shoulder and then walk out. I definitely would say stripping is a loose term that they use here because almost no one takes off any clothes.
Yeah, it's too bad Michael wasn't here to be possessed by the stripper gods.
That is true. Gone too soon, Michael.
Gone but never forgotten, Michael.
That is true. I am definitely remembering. I mean, I just love like Winston comes in as a boxer. So like by his costume, he only has shorts on and he's not taking those off. So there was some questionable choices here.
Definitely. I also thought it was very questionable that Cashel was the one to walk into the Magic Mike song.
Cashel has swag. I don't know what you want to say.
Hey, please never say swag again.
I'm going to. Oh, sorry, swig.
That's so rude. It's just regional voice differences.
Okay. Well, I said swag. It's fine.
Ugh. Anyways, so that horrified me. And then Weston coming out in a full leather suit was traumatizing.
I feel like it probably hurt him more than anyone else, given how hot it is in Fiji, but it was not a great look. Did he pack this?
I don't think any of them packed these costumes.
You never know.
But if anyone was going to wear a full leather suit, I guess it would be Weston.
I know that's something that they do on the challenge is like, they'll say like, oh, you'll have a costume party. So like bring a costume. So you don't know. I've had these lying around.
I'm so traumatized right now. but anyways, I was like absolutely horrified by Weston in his leather suit. He probably should have taken the vest off if only to save himself from chafing.
Well, the only thing more horrifying is Alexandra comes out wet dressed as a hot dog, which maybe not the right costume for this challenge, but I appreciate the humor. But she's carrying ketchup, which is the worst condiment by far.
I mean, I know we disagree on this and it's okay. I'll keep ketchup away from you.
Yeah. So definitely would have been out. My heart rate would have risen only from the sheer terror I would have felt from seeing the ketchup.
Like she was squirting the ketchup everywhere.
I don't want it near me. Oh don't God. Bring it close.
That's so funny. Carol went absolutely wild, mostly just being like, you guys are bad boys.
Yeah, and definitely you see the results. She had three guys had their heart rate raised the most for her, and I think it was again out of sheer terror.
Yeah, it was terrifying. Elizabeth was in the NASCAR costume, which if she had to get Kristen's heart rate up, that would have definitely worked.
Yeah, maybe she borrowed it, maybe she didn't bring anything, and Kristen said, you know what, I got this right here for you.
That's hilarious. And so she really didn't do that much, but then Zach seemed absolutely shocked that she did so much, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, this was weird. She basically like walked from one person to the next. And that was part of one of like the people that I was talking about who really didn't do a lot earlier. But we need to have like a full segment later of like Zach is shocked that she's so outgoing. And like even the announcer calls out like you're on a reality television show. Like not everyone's so shy.
Yeah, I was confused by this. And so unfortunately, this isn't like a great challenge to watch, especially when the people don't really take it that seriously and really go for it.
Yeah. May have also been because they're on CBS at 8 o'clock that they were told don't go too hard.
I mean, they could blur stuff out.
I don't think they're looking to do that in this hour.
Well, sometimes they have to blur stuff out on Survivor, and that's also on a date.
I mean, because they even say, who was it? They say that like Kira took this so seriously. She went all out, but like we saw it under a second. So I definitely think that there's the possibility that like people took it a little more seriously. And like, if you did, like you're not getting it shown.
Well, that's unfortunate, question mark. So Zach, Winston and Dylan all had their heart rate raised the most by Caro. And there's some comments of like, yeah, we were afraid.
I mean, as maybe you should be of Caro, but also someone needs to show Caro love. I'm a little bit sick of her just like, you know, being like the reject because she seemed a lot of people seemed interested in her early on.
Yeah, it bothers me, too. We also got Yeaman and Weston had their heart rate raised the most by Kristen.
Yeah, I mean, it seems about right for Yeaman, and don't know how Katrina feels about this, but I don't feel like anyone took this too seriously.
No, it was not like it didn't really cause any drama, unfortunately. No. Cashel's heart was raised by Katrina and Cormac's was by Alexandra. So Caro raised the most. So she wins. And then for the other side, it was all over the place.
Yeah, this I think it was like each guy got one. I don't think anyone got two.
Each guy got one. And so that's not that exciting. So I don't think it matters. So then the episode ended with America's going to vote for the most compatible couples. Winston is immune. The couples with the least votes are vulnerable and voting is only open for 30 minutes. So who did you vote for?
Okay, I voted for I did not want to see I feel like Caro and Cormac are actually the least compatible, but I didn't want to see them leave. So I voted for Weston and I voted for Yeaman.
You're such a liar. You didn't vote for anyone. You could only vote for a couple.
I did lie. I forgot. Okay, it was only open for 30 minutes. I was seeing, what was it? I was seeing Legally Blonde this night, the musical. It was my first Legally Blonde experience. Don't take that away from me. Stop judging me.
Sorry, I felt in the journalistic integrity I needed to call you out there. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I saw Legally Blonde. I didn't have a chance to get into the 30-minute vote, but I felt like I was a bad host for not voting, doing my civic duty.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in you. You're gonna have to prioritize this more moving forward.
It is true.
I voted for Alexandra and Dylan because I truly do think that they're the most compatible because I'm taking voting seriously.
Okay, that is a good choice.
And so the other thing too to take note of is they're like, oh yeah, voting is only open for half an hour, but I don't live in Eastern Standard Time Zone. So my voting doesn't even open up until it airs on the West Coast.
That's interesting.
So they're liars.
I'm wondering, maybe it wasn't even open at all for you.
No, it did.
Okay, that's weird. That's very interesting.
It happened both times, and I meant to talk about it last week when we voted, and I was like, oh, you know, whatever. But like, it doesn't come up after the East Coast episode for me because they know where I am because
that's weird.
Technology is everywhere, isn't it?
So interesting.
They're liars just like you.
Well, all right. I'm just, you know what?
Okay, bye. So we get the last episode, and we get the conversation where Zach is surprised by Elizabeth. Not that exciting. What I really liked was Yeaman being like, oh my God, I had the best kiss with Kristen last night. And he's like telling the guys about it. He's so excited. And then we get the like summer lovin' moment of Kristen talking to the girls, but she's like, it was a bad kiss.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Kristen is, she said she's going to teach Yeaman some things, but she's not sticking around long enough to actually carry through with that.
Unfortunately for whoever Yeaman couples up with next, Kristen will not be there to teach him that you should not just immediately alternate lip to lip.
is what it is. Like, I mean,
it sounded it was weird. Like the way she was like describing this kiss and her like facial reactions were quite funny.
She was definitely not into it. I mean, we definitely, I feel like we're getting the heavy foreshadowing for who are the two bottom couples, because we also have Caro and Cormac talking, and she's like, you know, I'm really starting to feel things for you. And he's like, I gotta pee. So he just like can't even be bothered to fake it at this point.
Well, and it's also so weird because on one of the episodes this week, we get a clip of Cormac doing Caro's eye drops, like for her pink eye or whatever she has going on. And I feel like that's not something that you would do for someone you don't care about.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, and he says to other people, like he talks to Yaman and he's like, look, like we're friends and I'm having a good time. Like if I wasn't having a good time, I would leave. So they're clicking on that friend level, but like he cannot even be bothered to pretend like he likes her at first. But then once she pushes him, he does a little bit. And then he says to Yaman, like, look, I'm lying. I don't have feelings for her. I'm leading her on.
Yeah, so he's a true villain.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always like a villain, but I don't want to see Caro get hurt, so turned on Cormac on this episode.
Yeah, no, Cormac's got to go. Who cares if he's the only accent that comes to Love Island?
I have good news for you.
Oh, okay.
He's gone.
Wow, oh my God, spoiler alert, how dare you? So. We also get Zach and Elizabeth talking, where you can tell Zach kind of wants to ask Elizabeth to be his girlfriend, but he's like, I could see you being my girlfriend.
Yeah, weird move. He's like, yeah, I can really see it. And she's like, okay. So he really fumbled over that one. And then we get also like a funny little thing where Elizabeth's like, what's one thing I don't know about you? He's like, I'm a procrastinator. It's like, oh, wow, really just saw that in action 1 minute ago.
I actually really liked how she was like, oh, is that what happened with the kiss a couple days ago? Which was cute. Yeah. I also liked at the start of the conversation when she's like, so like, how do you feel about being in a couple with me? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, there's just no one else here that I could connect with. So I feel really trapped. Yeah.
We see the true humor stylings of Zach and Elizabeth coming out. They are funny.
It was actually funny, but I also think that maybe neither of them have met a funny person before, so they think each other's funny.
That is fair.
That's my personal theory. Then we get my least favorite Love Island trope of all time, fast food. I'm going to need you to take this on because I can't even talk about it.
Yeah, so the couples are transferring food items from like one table to another, and this time they're sitting down like at a table that slides on a track, and they can only transfer them by the first person puts it in their mouth, and then they transfer to the other person's mouth, and then onto the second table, and the person who transfers the most food the fastest wins.
I legitimately almost puked watching this. Like I was literally gagging with Caro and Cormac in the milkshake. I was like, oh
yeah. See, I did laugh very, very hard when Cormac like projectile spat out the milkshake all over Caro.
Oh no, it's so gross.
This one doesn't usually bother me as much as other people. Like it's definitely gross. It's disgusting, but like I can watch it, except for that, like, once again, that giant plate of French fries with ketchup all over them. And I would have taken the L. I'm not playing. See ya.
Yeah, I wouldn't be playing for other reasons. But yeah, no. And that's gross. Like, as someone who I don't even dislike ketchup. Yeah, you don't put it on top of the fries. That's not okay. Because yeah, what if you're with someone who doesn't like ketchup and then you've ruined the fries for them? It's rude.
Now you know. And I like that the announcer says, oh, they're going to play my second favorite milkshake theme song, and then play Milkshake by Khalees. What's your first favorite milkshake themed song?
Yeah, I literally can't think of another milkshake themed song. Can you think of any?
Not off the top of my head. I was really hoping you had one prepared. Not going to lie.
Well, sorry, I'm not a professional. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this
one.
That
is true. It did just air. If we were recording later, I would have come up with something.
The other thing too is that Weston is just like absent for the majority of this episode. They're like, he's sick.
Yeah, which maybe he caught Caro's pink eye. I don't know what's going on, but he needs to leave the villa. And so Winston is going to play with Katrina.
Yeah. And it was like, imagine barely knowing someone like that and having to be like, yeah, I'm going to spit in your mouth.
Yeah, it's not like a good situation to be in. Usually like you're playing with like established couples, and this was just like, okay, I met you 4 days ago, and in some cases I literally met you this morning. Okay, now I'm going to spit a banana split down your throat.
Oh, it's so gross. Like I was so disgusted in like BB Can 7 when people were putting Dane's like tooth retainer in their mouth.
Yes,
and this is like so much worse than that.
I feel like this. Yeah, this is definitely worse. It's I don't know. Gross. It's disgusting.
It's anyways. Yeah.
Sorry to any listeners that had a hard time watching and now have to listen to 15 minutes of us retelling the whole story.
Thankfully, we're not dedicating 15 minutes to this. So Cashel and Kira win. Cool. Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Kira's the most competitive and Cashel is the most. I don't know. He calls himself a slob at one point.
Yeah, he's the weirdest.
Yeah, so I definitely saw this one coming.
Yeah, I'm not super surprised by that. We also get where Winston wants to talk to Katrina. He felt a real connection with her, but he can't get her alone.
Yeah, this did make me laugh. Winston, like, once again, like, it just not having a lot of game where, you know, Cashel's cleaning his sunglasses for like 90 minutes, he alleges. And then Kristen is like getting ready in the room. So Winston does what? Oh, I'm going to be inconspicuous and eat a yogurt up here.
Well, I think that what Winston's doing is just trying to make Love Island appeal more to Taryn.
Oh, that is true. Definitely could help.
Yeah, definitely get him to stop talking crap. I don't think that'll happen. Anyways, no. So Winston finally pulls her aside by being like, want to chat?
Yeah, it was very direct, which is probably the right move.
It was just so like, she's like, oh a chat? Okay. It was so awkward.
It was funny, but I mean, it's weird because he's like, oh yeah, like yesterday was weird. She's like, I mean, it was a competition. Like, oh yeah, it was a competition. Like, okay, Winston, like you don't need to just like back down to whatever she says.
He's trying to mirror her. It's a sales tactic.
Yeah, well, all right. I'd learned about some of those from Chris Underwood on Survivor last season.
One, they worked out, so.
Apparently. Well, maybe Winston does know what he's doing.
I don't know if I'd go that far. It's also the thing too, where they're like, yeah, I feel so much closer to you after that. And it's like, yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah, I really don't think there's any escaping that one.
Like, how do you feel further away from someone after?
I might want to be further away from everyone after that, but I guess it does bring you closer.
I wouldn't do it. Like, I literally would not do this challenge.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going on this, I'm saying I'm allergic to ketchup, so it never shows up. But otherwise, I think I'm not going to be thrilled about it.
No, if someone wants, no one's spitting in my mouth. I'm sorry. It's just not happening on this planet in this lifetime.
Good thing I don't think they let Canadians on the show just yet.
Well, also, I'm not hot enough to go on Love Island. It's fine.
I'll stop.
And so then we get more of the Kira Cashel drama of Kira's talking to Alexander about like, oh, she like sees him as a friend sometimes and she feels like she has concerns, but she can't bring them up with him because he's so sweet and nice.
This is weird because all of a sudden now Cashel has done like the 180 and he's so into Kira and he would never consider anyone else that walks in when like 2 episodes ago, he was like, yeah, you know, I'm keeping my options open and like, who knows who comes in. So I'm confused if, like I said earlier, like Kira says she like gets into someone and then pushes them away. Like, is that what's happening here? Is that an oversimplification? Cashel, is he like only really into her once it's like the women picking the men, like once the men are in the majority? So I'm a little curious about what's happening in this dynamic.
Well, I just think if both of them do a 180, that's a 360. So does that mean anything?
The problem is the 180s are happening at different times, so we're constantly opposing each other.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And we also get the bomb dropped that Caro has a crush on Weston.
Yeah, which I don't know.
Where did this come from?
She at one point, like they had like a conversation and it was highlighted like, oh, Caro's moved on to someone else. I think it was after her like bad date with Cormac. But I feel like Weston doesn't talk the best about her in like other scenes. So
all
I was
he does
a little thrown off.
Is talk about how she's such a flirt and he's like, you're like a bee gathering pollen. Like,
I don't get that.
I
know he like at one point he's like, oh, like if a guy did this, like he would look like a player. It's like, oh, like poor men, like being so,
and
you know,
what about it?
Like, they're the ones who have the trouble in like dating too many people at the same time. But I just did not really see this. But if he went for Caro and then that opens up Katrina for Winston and we would be all balanced in this villa.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm not opposed.
Yeah, I feel like they might make more sense as the couples, but we'll see if that happens next week.
Yeah, well, we will have to see. We also get, so everyone's sitting together and Ariel comes in out of nowhere. She has a great slow-mo shot. She looks hot and she's like, sorry for showing up unannounced.
Yeah, I consistently am like, oh, is this a new Islander? Because like she's just on the same level as everyone else. Like, big fan of Ariel, very excited to see her. I guess we're going to be getting her on Fridays. To be honest, since I always watch the UK version on a binge, I'm not watching them like the day they come out. I have no idea if the host shows up only on Fridays there or if it's for like any major ceremonies. I don't really keep track of it that closely. But it seems to be the pattern we're getting here. Maybe she'll come in more towards the end with like a surprise elimination. But that's I'm content with what we're getting so far.
Yeah, it's like it would have been nice if she was there for the recoupling on Wednesday, but it's a nice to have, not a need to have.
Yeah, so it is what it is.
So she tells everyone about the vote, that the couple with the lowest votes will be up for elimination and that Winston is immune. Then there's a funny moment where she's like, okay, everyone stand up, but Winston, you could stay right there.
Yeah, I feel like at one point he was like, oh, what? Oh, okay. I'm good.
Like she could have been like, everyone stand up. Told them about the vote and then been like, Winston, you're immune. You can take a seat. And it would have flowed. Though. It would have made more sense.
It is what it is. It happened.
It's okay. It's fine. You're right. It happened. So basically, Yeamon and Kristen and Caro and Cormac are up for elimination. And the Islanders will vote on who should leave from each couple. So what was your immediate thought at this point?
I was a little surprised that all of a sudden Caro finds herself in the bottom two because she's been like the biggest character on the show.
But they're not compatible.
Yeah, but is anyone actually voting that way?
Me.
Okay, you alone. But I feel like the majority of viewers are like, oh, I like that one person in a couple, so I will vote for them. Or I like Zach and Elizabeth because like they're cute together. But I don't feel like the actual compatibility like is actually being evaluated here.
I also feel like, and hear me out, there is a chance that the vast majority of the viewers don't agree with us and what they find entertaining.
That's and very upsetting.
I know this might sound crazy, but sometimes the public votes wrong or counter to what we might think.
That is a trend that I have seen in the past.
It's, I can't think of any examples, but no, I know that it does happen, okay?
Not off the top of my head, but I definitely know it has happened. I mean, the audience is wrong very often, but unfortunately, Caro is up for elimination at this point.
Yes. And so the Islanders are voting on who will leave from each couple. My immediate thought was Kristen and Cormac are going home. And I did text you in real time. So there is proof of it.
Yeah. This is something that we'll see a lot where like, okay, the OGs are safe. Like they're not going. They have their alliances. They have their friendships. But anticlimactic, but at the same time, what are you gonna do?
I wish Yeamon had gone.
Yeah, I definitely like it would have been funny to see him like ditch Alana and then immediately like get his comeuppance by you know, for having led her on. But here we lose Kristen. It's no more arsonist jokes, unfortunately.
Well, for now, I'm sure we'll think of more later.
That is true.
So basically we get like Yeamon and Caro are crying. Kristen is crying. Yeamon and Kristen have like a moment where they're crying and also kissing. Yeah, that happened. And all I have to say is in the words of Theo from Love Island UK, if you like her so much, why aren't you with her?
Yeah.
Leave.
It was weird. I'm wondering if they like have not seen like other versions, so they don't really think of that as a possibility. Like it'll probably be like the type of thing where if the first person goes, they'll like break the ice and it'll happen more in the future. Or Eamon's here for, you know, to be internet famous, and so he's not leaving.
Well, I think he'll be gone next Friday.
We'll see. I mean, it was with Kristen for what, like 2-3 days, so it would be a little much to leave after that quick of a relationship, even though he seems very, very invested in it.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I don't care. And I also like I'm happy with Cormac leaving after how rude he was to Caro, who's our baby.
Yeah, very fine with Cormac leaving. One thing that I thought was funny was Cashel announced like, oh, we're saving this guy because like he's persevered in his relationships. It's like, okay, just dump like, someone.
Has he,
like,
has 2 days he persevered?
Ago, but, okay. Didn't seem to really try that one out too hard, but whatever. And Weston, he thinks that Caro is too flirty with everyone, and maybe that's why she should leave. It's like, okay, seems like the point of the show. She hasn't really found someone, and Weston kept doing the same until he found someone, but all right, here we are.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I did like when Alexandra was like, I didn't like how Yeamon handled the Alana situation. And I'm like, I might be ready to stand Alexandra.
Yeah, gained points for me, definitely.
yeah, definitely growing on me. So the episode ends with Yaman telling Kristen he likes her a lot, hasn't liked anyone like that in a long time. Okay.
We get a preview, which I found very, very exciting.
Yes. So the Love Liner, which is a yacht, is going to be docking at Love Island, and there are going to be a lot of singles coming in. And we both had the same thought. This seems a lot like the Casa Amor twist on Love Island UK. So I think next week is going to be wild.
And I really don't feel like these couples are as established as many of the UK couples are at this point when this twist comes in. So I feel like we're going to see a lot of breakups.
Yeah, I honestly feel like Zach and Elizabeth will stay together, and maybe Dylan and Alexandra. But like, other than that, it's open season.
I feel pretty good about those two. I think almost every single other person is going to stray.
I can't wait.
Big fan of it. I'm excited. I've teased it on this podcast before. It's definitely my favorite twist that they do. And so, I mean, I guess they couldn't find the budget to rent another villa because they spent it all on music again. But I am excited for the Love Liner coming into Love Island.
A yacht is fun as long as they don't end up in the rain.
Oh, no, I'm very okay with it. Yeah, if it pours rain on that yacht, we're going to have problems.
Oh, God, the yacht sinks.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. I mean, it would be, you know, good television, at least.
It will be something.
Something new.
So I did pull a couple of questions from the Rob Has Awesome Patrons Facebook group that we can zoom through before we go. Killian McNeely said, Fiji is pretty far from the United States. What do you think the jet lag situation is like? Also, could that be an unexpected advantage? If you came in with the first group, I'm sure the new arrivals will be going through the adjustment, and it would be much easier to trick someone new into coupling while you buy time until someone you have better chemistry with comes in. So do you think the jet lag would be an advantage?
I don't think it's probably that much of a factor. You definitely get there for like 2 or 3 days at least beforehand before you go into the villa. I don't think they're sending you fresh off the airplane in, but maybe.
I mean, two or three days is not enough for that big of a time difference. Like, they're definitely still jet lagged.
Jet lagged, but like, is it really bringing a significant advantage to people that are already in there?
Yeah, I think if anything, it's a disadvantage.
So, is what it is. The next question I see is from Mike Christensen, who says, what other TV show theme songs do you hope show up as background music?
It's a tough one. I would like the Kim Possible theme song.
Ooh, very down for the Kim Possible
That would have been so good for the Girl Power Challenge. Yeah,
would laugh very hard. Big fan of it. I was thinking more of the OC, but I really like the direction that you're going.
Oh, I do like, that's Phantom Planet, right?
Yes, that is Phantom Planet.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have Kevin Doherty asks, how low of a bar is it to call someone handy because they were able to change a tire?
I couldn't do it. Maybe I feel like I could figure it out, but I have not done it.
I like in theory know how to change a tire, but I don't know how much faith I have in myself to actually do it and have faith in that tire to stay on.
Yeah. I mean, I invest in AAA for a reason.
You like jack it up. Take it all. You take off the lug nuts.
I mean, if I had to do it, I'll pull up a YouTube tutorial and I'm doing it along watching it. But it's definitely not something that I am trusting myself with.
No, and I don't think it's like that handy, though, because like it is. I think it's basic. I think people just get scared because they rely so much on tires.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I definitely feel like there's other stuff that's like more difficult that I could do, but just because of the size of the project, I would be a little intimidated.
The size of the project. Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's a car.
Yikes. So Allie Lasher shared some thoughts, and Allie Lasher can share whatever thoughts she wants on our podcast. So she said, okay, I don't love Yaman. I'm sorry. No need to be sorry. But I think he says he won't lead a girl on, but the I wouldn't let you do X, Y, or Z if I wasn't interested is not affirmatively saying I'm interested. Hashtag Team Alana. Also, Cashel is the same way, just slithering around doing to Kira what he did to Caro. I'm not looking for anyone, just talking, and then goes to the other girl and says, I'm very interested in picking your vibes up and marrying them. So there's Allie Lasher's thoughts. She also says she feels like Winston and Kira are not suited for each other, and who would have been a better pick?
Ooh, better pick for Winston. Out of who's available? I mean, really, we were coming to the point where Caro seems to be the only person who is looking to move out of the couple that she was currently in. I did like the Katrina pick for him, but I think he was right in saying that Alexandra probably is the most compatible.
I also
had his first.
I could have seen Kristen as being cute with Winston.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
And then their couple name could be Kristen or Winston.
Yeah, that's also a good point. Always, you know, match them up based on the hashtag.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how you have to do everything, is do it for the hashtag. And then our last question, also Mike Christensen, he asks, when can we expect to see this challenge take the place of the gross food challenge on Survivor? Far more disgusting. Hopefully never, Mike.
Yeah, no, I don't even feel the need for the gross food challenge on Survivor. So I'm definitely up for this one not making its way over.
Yeah, it's absolutely just, ugh, I hate it so much. I'm glad it's over with, because now I don't have to be living in fear that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you have any final thoughts on the episode or this week of episodes?
I do not. I think it was good. I think the announcer's been steady. I'm still looking for him to like improve like one more half step, but I'm satisfied. We're starting to get more drama. I'm excited for next week, and I'm liking the cast more than I was the first week.
Yeah, I think pretty much everything has grown on me at least a little bit, if not a lot. So I'm very excited moving forward. Where can people find you, Scally?
I am on Twitter and Instagram, but definitely Twitter primarily, @Brian_Scally. That's Brian_Scally, Scally.
Okay. And people can find me on all social media @KirstenSaidWhat. I also was on the Bachelorette wrap up on the wrap up seat earlier this week. That was a lot of fun to tear into Luke P. And you can occasionally find me on the Big Brother updates, also on their wrap-up speed. And I'm still doing weekly Riverdale recap podcasts because I hate myself over on Kowski Cast. That is Cow with a K. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.